from AAA to AA+. Sounds a little technical. Well, it's a huge move in the markets and global markets around the world reacting to the S&P Standard & Poor's downgrading over the weekend. It happened after markets closed on Friday. Downgrading U.S. sovereign debt. That's the debt the Treasury takes on when it sells Treasury bonds. Downgrading that debt from AAA to AA+. The first time in the modern era that's happened, and markets this morning, again, reacting 2 and 3% declines in Asia. Europe is continuing to decline this morning after what seemed like a reasonably flat opening. And then you've got gold rocketing through with $1,700 an ounce this morning. If you bought an ounce of gold on Friday, you made $60 as of this morning. Joining us now, Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
Also with us, Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, which should be distinguished from Moody's, the rating agency. Right, Mark?
That's right. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, first of all, Mark, I don't care what you're going to say or what you have said all weekend long. I'm buying gold this morning, period, the end. What do you say to that?
Good luck with that.
What would you say is...
I'm buying stocks, by the way, John.
And what would you say is the mood of investors this morning looking at this S&P downgrade and thinking, you know, into the future more than just a couple of nanoseconds?
Yeah, well, I think they're very nervous. There's a lot to be nervous about. The U.S. economy is soft. Europe has very significant debt problems. And, of course, there's the S&P downgrade. But I don't think that the S&P downgrade will have long-lasting effects. I think this is something for today, maybe for tomorrow, but a couple weeks, a couple months down the road, it will not have an impact.
Mark, respond to this listener who sent this comment to us, and I think it represents a sort of a gut feeling on the part of a lot of people who maybe aren't as experienced and knowledgeable as you, but I think it's still relevant. Here's a fellow named Kerwin who says, I still don't understand why the U.S. even has a AA+ rating. It should be below investment grade. What the federal government should do is stop spending money it does not have. How do you respond to that and assure Kerwin that if U.S. debt was below investment grade, we would all be paying, you know, $10,000 a month on our mortgages?
Right. Well, we always make good on our debts. We always have. We always will. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And so that's why we're AAA. There is no meaningful probability that the United States of America will default on its debt. It's the largest, most productive economy on the planet. And everyone knows it. Investors know whenever there's a problem anywhere on the planet, they rush to the safety of U.S. Treasury bonds. Just take a look at U.S. Treasury yields today. They're lower than they were on Friday. So there's no reason to believe that we're not going to make good on our debts, and that's why we're AAA. Now, of course, if we were a junk bond, that means investors don't believe they're going to get their money back, or at least there's a reasonable probability that they won't. They would charge a much higher interest rate for that risk, and we'd all be paying for it, as you say, through higher mortgage rates or credit card rates, or businesses would have to pay more.
All right, that's Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics. Louise Story, Mark raises a really interesting and important point that all investors and people who care about the U.S. economy should keep in mind. There's the verdict of an organization like Standard & Poor's on the value of U.S. debt or the likelihood of a default. And then there's the market's own verdict. And it seems to me that the market is saying the Treasury bonds are still AAA.
Well, that's what's so amazing. You know, Mark mentioned that Treasury yields are down. And what that means is that people are buying Treasuries. Even throughout the debt limit talks, when we were up against the deadline, people were buying more and more Treasuries, which was driving down the cost of interest that the government has to pay. And so you're right. The market is rushing into Treasuries. They may be doing that because they're more afraid of stocks than they are afraid of Treasuries. Now, that said, things to watch are what will Moody's and Fitch do? We talked to them over the weekend, and they made it very clear to us that they may still downgrade the U.S. In fact, Fitch is really looking to figure out what it's going to do in the next few weeks by the end of this month. And so a lot of people right now are trying to discredit S&P over the weekend. A number of politicians in the Obama administration went very public criticizing the agency, saying that they did not have the competency to be doing this.
They claim there was a $2 trillion math error over the weekend.
Well, and by the way, this error, they called it an error. This error was just, it was a different assumption about the rate at which our debt would grow. But, you know, reasonable people can use different assumptions. Now, the assumption they used was not the one that the Congressional Budget Office prefers. So S&P in the end agreed, okay, we should have used that one. But it wasn't like, you know, they couldn't add their numbers up.
Right. That's Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Have we reached a watershed here, at least, Mark Zandi, in the sense that the U.S. is much more, it seems to me, seriously dealing with the issue of its debt right now? And from here on out, that's where the political system is going to remain.
Yeah, I think the debt ceiling deal was a good deal. You know, it doesn't get us to fiscal sustainability, but it's a big step in the right direction. I think most parties agree, Republicans, Democrats, the fiscal commission, that we need $4 trillion in 10-year deficit reduction to get where we need to go. The deal got us more than halfway there. And I think it's substantive. You know, if you listen to the Democrats, Pocan speak about this, they are upset about the deal because they know it's substantive, that it will result in significant spending cuts. We need to do more, and we're not going to hold on to the AAA unless we do more. That probably will entail tax revenue. But there, in my mind, is a clear narrative how we're going to get there late next year when the Bush tax, leading up to the expiration of the Bush tax cut. So I think we've actually made a significant amount of progress towards achieving what we need to achieve. And ultimately, that means we'll hold on to that AAA.
All right. Mark Zandi, thanks so much. Chief Economist at Moody's Analytics, heading into a stormy day on the markets. So, Louise Story, take us out on this. It seems to me on some level that we're seeing it's a small planet for a huge economy, that there's really nowhere to go. Treasuries are the only game in town until something structural changes either in China or somewhere else in the global economy, right?
Well, keep in mind, there's only four other countries that have AAAs. So it's not like there's 30 other countries with AAAs and now the U.S. has lost it in the eyes of S&P. It's a very small group. And so even
Canada's one of them, I think.
Canada, France, Germany. And of course, you know, France and Germany, their future looks a little dubious in the sense of all the problems in Europe that they may have to help out with in terms of their neighbors in Italy and Spain. So it's
a
small world.
There may be a reexamination
of everyone. Everyone may be finding their debt rating in trouble.
Even Canada?
Oh, Canada, oh, Canada. We'll have to see. But they are right next door.
Right, exactly. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner in the New York Times, looking for AAAs and seeing AA pluses. Thanks so much.
Thank you.